When 1991 turned to 92, our rock and roll critic Ed Ward began a survey of rock 10, 20, 30, and 40 years ago. Today it's back to 1962, the year this tune, Green Onions, was released. That same year, rock and roll was taking a breather from the musical explosion of the 50s. Payola hearings had made everybody circumspect, and about the best place to find spontaneous fun was in the big cities, in a new kind of club called the discotheque.
Like 1952, 1962 was a year when things were just about to happen. By 1962, the glory days of the 50s were a distant memory, and both the black and white musical styles that had fed rock and roll were undergoing deep changes. The Kennedy presidency had had a year to gather steam, and the civil rights movement was pressing for integration, something that was already happening in a timid way on the dance floors of big city twist clubs and, in the hands of Ray Charles, on the charts.
I can't stop loving you. I've made up my mind to live in memory of the lonesome time.
If a performer that deeply rooted in black gospel music could have a number one hit with a Don Gibson song taken from an album modestly titled New Sounds in Country and Western Music, then probably anything was possible. At least, that's what a lot of people seem to be thinking. Up in Detroit, a young man named Barry Gordy had envisioned himself as a record mogul and was trying to get two labels, Tamla and Motown, off the ground. There had been black-owned record companies ever since the 20s, but none that had attempted to challenge the mainstream pop market the way Gordy was doing. In 1961, he'd started the year with a chart-topping song, Shop Around, by his friend Smokey Robinson's Miracles, and ended it with Please, Mr. Postman, by the Marvelettes. But 62 only gave him one R&B number one. It was a good question. Twist music was everywhere, and everyone from the Isley Brothers to Frank Sinatra, Rod McEwen, and Count Basie were recording twist numbers. Sam Cooke sang about twisting the night away, Dee Dee Sharp celebrated the mashed potato, the Orlons pushed the wah-wah-toosie, Little Eva gave us the locomotion, the Rivingtons thought that the bird was the word, and Chris Montez summed it all up.
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance?
Besides dancing, 1962 was about helpless girls. It was the heyday of the girl group, and most of the hits, like Claudine Clark's Party Lights, came from New York's Brill Building and the huge number of songwriters there. The Brill Building's greatest inhabitant, although he spent a lot of time in L.A., too, was young Phil Spector. He'd just gotten his Phillies label off the ground in 1962 and thought he understood teen psyches just fine.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss. Hit me, but it didn't hurt me. He couldn't stand to hear me say that I'd been with someone new.
And well, okay, they wouldn't play that Crystal song on the radio. Sorry, try this.
Just one of the crowd. My baby always the one.
supposedly the Crystals again, but actually Darlene Love, recorded on the other end of the continent. Concentrating on the charts, though, gives a skewed picture of the cultural forces at work in 1962. It might not have been the most shining moment of American popular music, not when the Four Seasons were having R&B hits, but between Motown in Detroit and Stax in Memphis, serious soul music was coming into being. The surf music era was just starting, which, among other things, meant serious electric guitar playing, and, in the last place anybody would think to look, this was going on.
I'm gonna eat some struggle with the stars or snow pool, but he beat it.
Like so much in 1962, the Beatles didn't sound like much, yet.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. I'm Terry Gross.